The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. When the day came for them to be purified, as laid down by the law of Moses, the parents of Jesus took him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord, observing what stands written in the law of the Lord: every firstborn male must be consecrated to the Lord, and also to offer in sacrifice, in accordance with what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Now, in Jerusalem there was a man named Simeon. He was an upright and devout man. He looked forward to Israel's comforting, and the Holy Spirit rested on him. It had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death until he had set eyes on the Christ of the Lord. Prompted by the Spirit, he came to the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the law required, he took him into his arms and blessed God. He said, "Now, Master, you can let your servant go in peace, just as you promised, because my eyes have seen the salvation which you have prepared for all the nations to see, a light to enlighten the pagans and the glory of your people Israel." As the child's father and mother stood there, wondering at the things that were being said about him, Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, "You see this child? He is destined for the fall and for the rising of many in Israel, destined to be a sign that is rejected, and a sword will pierce your own soul too, so that the secret thoughts of many will be laid bare." There was a prophetess also, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was well on in years. Her days of girlhood now over, she had been married for 7 years before becoming a widow. She was now 84 years old and never left the temple, serving God night and day with fasting and prayer. She came by just at that moment and began to praise God, and she spoke of the child to all who look forward to the deliverance of Jerusalem. When they had done everything the law of the Lord required, they went back to Galilee, to their own town of Nazareth. Meanwhile, the child grew to maturity and was filled with wisdom, and God's favor was with him. The Gospel of the Lord. It's been quite a week this past week, with three funeral masses in between the episcopal ordination of our new Bishop Mark. It's the first time, 28 years since the last one. And then the beautiful Christmas meal and celebration on Friday evening. But in a way, all those occasions are blessed times, opportunities to preach, proclaim, celebrate the truth that we all know in Jesus. I've always said to assistants I've worked with, often the most important thing to do, or one of the most important things we do, is celebrate the funeral requiem for parishioners. O magnum mysterium, O great mystery, when we celebrate that word made flesh, God become man for us and for our salvation. But this year, more than maybe other years, I've been struck by how often the readings on Sundays particularly have spoken about light. Now, it could be that with so much rain already and the darkened days that we've had because of the rain clouds, that light has taken on more significance. And of course, we always look forward, as we are already doing by this end of January, early February, to the lengthening of both ends of the day. But apart from the obvious light of the Epiphany star, the next Sunday, the Feast of the Baptism, spoke of the heaven opening, the light, obviously light. And the first reading on that Sunday, speaking of the servant opening the eyes of the blind, freeing captives from the prison, and to those who live in darkness from the dungeon. And the second Sunday, the first reading spoke of making you the light of the nations. And last Sunday, the first reading spoke of the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. A light has shone upon them. It was picked up in the psalm response, "The Lord is my light and my help." A psalm that we can use at funeral masses. Often, of course, we use the very familiar, "Lord's my shepherd." But we can use another one, "The Lord is my light and help." We say, "I'm sure I shall see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living. Hope in the Lord, hold firm, take heart." And that first reading last Sunday, people that walked in darkness in the land of Zebulun and Naphtali, Jesus also picks up in Matthew as he begins his work, calling his disciples, "He, the light of the nations." So Candlemas, but it's actually 11 years since we had Candlemas on a Sunday. It was 2003. It only replaces Sunday when the 2nd of February happens to fall on a Sunday. When I say Sunday, the ordinary Sunday. And that's not happened for 11 years. But every year we still get the Advent. You think of Advent beginning, darkest time, with the Advent candles that we light one each week, just emphasizing the light slowly beginning to come. The light that shines in the crib at Bethlehem, and it's why you can keep your cribs up as we do here until the 2nd of February. The starlight of the Epiphany, leading on, of course, it will, to the supreme light of all, the Paschal candle, the forthcoming festival of Easter. And recall, too, that baptism in the Eastern tradition is called the illumination or the enlightenment, sort of heightening, as it were, deepening that sense of the meaning of Candlemas. And remember the old thing about better to light a candle than to curse the darkness, or a candle's worth is only by spending itself in service, giving light where there is darkness. I always say, whether our candles are huge and very tall or whether they're burning down, as I let them burn down as far as we can, because we burn down in the service of the Lord. One Sunday, not here, another parish, one of them went out. He said, "Can't we afford candles?" I said, "No, because you've let yourself run out. Because we are those candles burning." So it doesn't matter whether we're new and that, or whether we're old and worn out. Think of Anna in the temple. Then we're still burning with the light of Christ. That light of Christ brings the light of the gospel. So all those opportunities that we've had this week, but of course they come every week, they come all the time, to proclaim the truth of the gospel. And one of the great things at the episcopal ordination was on exactly that, because at the point of his consecration, the open book of the gospel is that it's placed over the bishop's head. I was glad it wasn't placed on his head, although it would have been crushed under the weight of it, placed over him. And it's really indicating that the word of God embraces and watches over the bishop's ministry. That is what he's there to do. And his life, this is what it says, is to be completely submitted to the word of God in daily commitment of preaching the gospel. And it was Bishop Mark that, before the ordination, wrote to us and said that he was drawn to the crib, which is why it's still good to reflect on it. Here it is. But he was drawn to the crib and the figure of St. Joseph, because he said, at the Nativity, Joseph doesn't draw attention to himself. You see, this is what Father Bishop Mark wrote. He said, it's a twofold gaze. A gaze to the Christ child, to Jesus, and a gaze to Mary. So focused on Jesus, to protect the truth of the incarnation of the Son of God. And the mystery of Mother Church, Mary, our Mother, so that, he wrote this, all people may come to know in her the saving beauty of belief in Jesus. So Mary always shows her son. Joseph protects and defends both Jesus, Mary, and the church. During the ordination mass, Cardinal Murphy O'Connor, who preached there, spoke to, or picking up from Pope Francis, about words about bishops, and he said, "They need to be pastors close to the people, fathers and brothers. They are to be gentle, patient, merciful, animated with inner poverty, freedom of the Lord, and also outward simplicity and austerity of life, to watch over the flock, to keep watch, to imbue hope, that they have the sun and light in their hearts, to lovingly and support the plans which God has for his people." And the cardinal urged that that's what Bishop Mark would do for our diocese. But in a way, it's what every Christian is called to do, to watch over each other, to have a care for each other, to imbue hope when we're down in the depths of despair, to bring sun and light to each other as we begin, all of us, to shine with the light of Christ. That's why on our very last journey here, as we have three of them this week, they're surrounded by all the symbols of baptism, when we begin and when we put on Christ. So the candles that are there, and the white garment, and the open book, and the cross, and the Easter candle. It's the light of Christ burning. Always remember, at your baptism, your parents probably, but if you're an adult or an older person, then you hold your own candle, receive the light of Christ. Keep the flame of faith alive. In a way, shine as a light in the world to the glory of God the Father. When we're always moaning about the darkness of the world, remember, we've got the light to dispel that darkness.